Lord. Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Last week in his State of the Union address, President Obama called for community colleges and businesses to form community centers, partnerships essentially, that would train students with skills that employers in their area need, programs that community colleges have in place in some parts of the country. He said now you have to give more community colleges the resources they need to become community career centers, places that teach people skills that local businesses are looking for right now, from data management to high-tech manufacturing. That's what the president said in his State of the Union address. And we this hour thought that we would look at the role of community colleges, and we hear so much about people not having the skills that are needed for the jobs that are available. What can technical schools do, community centers do? Do they need to move more in the direction of finding out what skills are needed so that people can move right into jobs after they receive their training? Is this already being done? Definitely worth examination, and we do have a very extensive network of community colleges and technical schools in the state of Wisconsin. We have two guests with us. Morna Foy is here, Vice President of Policy and Government Relations and for the Wisconsin Technical College System. Ms. Foy is responsible for a variety of executive-level administrative and leadership duties on behalf of the system president and the governing board. She has worked for the state of Wisconsin for over 20 years, previous experience including serving as the senior policy advisor to the Wisconsin Technical College System and as a program evaluation supervisor for the Legislative Audit Bureau. She has degree in economics and political science from UW-Madison and an MPA in finance and policy from Indiana University. Morna, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think it'll be a very interesting conversation. Also joining us is James Stone. James is director of the National Research Center for Career and Technical Education at the University of Louisville. Their vision is they are the primary agent for generating scientifically based knowledge, dissemination, professional development, and technical assistance to improve career and technical education in the United States. He's a native of Washington, D.C., grew up in Virginia, and he taught secondary marketing education for a number of years. His degrees are from Virginia Polytechnic Institute and a master's in school administration at George Mason University. He also has taught, so many people have these Wisconsin connections, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he has done a great deal of work developing bids for the National Centers in Career and Technical Education, getting grants, focusing on the role of schools, and linking youth and adults to the workplace. James, thank you so much for being with us as well.
I'm happy to join you.
Yeah. Did both of you have a heads up that the president was going to talk about this in his State of the Union address, James?
Well, actually, he's been talking about this for some time. This specific reference, no. The White House rarely calls me these days.
They don't call you these days?
No, they never call, they never write.
No, even now?
But the president has been talking about the need for education beyond high school with specific focus on preparation for the workplace, and that goes back really 3 years.
Yeah, I bet if you called him now, he'd take your call. Don't you think?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think so. Morna, there's a very extensive system of technical schools and community college in the state of Wisconsin, probably one of the finest in the whole country. Are you already on this of linking jobs and skills?
Yes, we are, actually. And I'd like to think that the administration and the president have had states like Wisconsin in mind when he put out his vision for greater connections between employers and higher education. In some states, different models have evolved over time. And in Wisconsin, we've been fortunate that the technical college system has a lot of this kind of collaborative effort really built into our institutional structure. All of our governing boards at the local colleges have to have employer members. The state board as well. And we also have advisory committees for every one of the programs that we offer that is made up of employers. So they really are the ones that drive our curriculum decisions and help us figure out how to adjust and add new programs or get rid of ones that have served their purpose to meet the needs of business. We also have requirements for all of our faculty to have industry experience. So it can make it obviously difficult to find the right folks to provide instruction, but it's really what I think distinguishes us and leads to very, very high placement rates, actually.
Well, let's talk more about those placement rates. James, do we have any national figures that show how many students are able to find employment once they graduate from tech schools, community colleges?
Yes and no. There are reports done often by individual colleges, and I think there may be some systems data in some states, like Minnesota and Wisconsin. But it's a difficult thing to track, in large part because it relies on surveys in most cases, and survey response rates are notoriously low. There are a couple of states that have started using Social Security numbers or some other specific student identifier, and those data are beginning to evolve. I know from reading reports from different schools or technical colleges or community colleges, places like Minnesota and Wisconsin do an excellent job of, because of the connections that Dr. Foy mentioned, do an excellent job of getting their students connected to employers while they're in school through the programs, and that leads to better options for employment following the program.
What are the kinds of jobs, Mourner, the kind that are going unfilled in the state of Wisconsin and maybe in the country because people don't have skills? What was the president referencing?
Well, it depends really on each individual state's main industry sectors, I believe, and
yes,
also in part sort of the preparation and foresight of both the education and the industries themselves to anticipate where there was going to be growth opportunities. In Wisconsin, we have a lot of new growth in renewable and sustainable energy, and connected to that, related to that, is in advanced manufacturing. We're one of the few states that I think has really continues to have a robust manufacturing sector, and more importantly, the state has decided that they want to foster and facilitate that sector. And that means that we're seeing growth in that area. We've got a lot of agriculture, food-related manufacturing, in a sense. We also have been a leader in, like I said earlier, renewable energy, wind and thermal and solar. So those are areas where a lot of traditional technician kinds of careers are available. And I think it's really trying to get folks to understand that those careers are not exactly what they may have remembered or think of when they hear the word, say, electrician or plumber. The type of work is much more sophisticated. It requires a much higher level of math and science skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may have people even in Wisconsin, this is, and I'm sure this is typical, James may want to comment on it, but you know, we have lots of folks here who have spent a career already in certain areas like manufacturing, and for different economic reasons, they now find themselves without a job and not really prepared to move into a new manufacturing setting because they have not been in the economic situation for 20 years. And now you need to be able to operate a computer, and you need to be able to do a lot of stuff that you weren't necessarily doing in your previous job.
Is Mourner describing something that's true nationally, or is it very specific set of skills and quite different from state to state, James?
There is state variability. However, in the president's speech, he was a couple of the references he made were specifically to manufacturing. The one in North Carolina with Siemens Corporation, for example. And manufacturers across the country are they're struggling to find qualified workers. The factory of today, the manufacturing plant of today, is far different than it was 20 years ago and even 10 years ago. And the advanced manufacturing credential, which is available through community colleges, has become sort of the gold standard. Here close to Louisville, a little town called Georgetown, Kentucky, Toyota Manufacturing has one of its largest plants in the Western Hemisphere. And they work very closely with the community colleges, but also with the high schools to create essentially a pipeline, beginning with high school and providing students an opportunity in high school to spend summers working on the plant floor, and then supporting them as they take the advanced manufacturing coursework in the Toyota plant following high school. And then, depending on the individual, they might begin working full-time in one of two job titles. They only have two at Toyota in auto manufacturing. They have what they call multi-skilled technicians, which is another trend in manufacturing. So they have a very sophisticated system, requires students who have advanced skills in mathematics, trigonometry, understand programming language, and the like. And even though the numbers aren't great in terms relative to other occupational growth areas, the need is huge, and manufacturing is growing in this country again, which most people, I guess, aren't totally aware of. So the president's focus on it makes an awful lot of sense.
So if I were to get a degree in advanced manufacturing credential, what kinds of courses would I be taking?
At the post-secondary level, there's a lot of mathematics. There's computer technology, computer programming involved in it. There are also still the basic skills of machine maintenance, in other words, troubleshooting machinery. If you look at some modern American manufacturing plants, you often struggle to find the human, but they are necessary. They're absolutely critical, and even though we don't employ them in the numbers, the United States is still, if not the leading, I think still the leading manufacturing country in the world, if I'm not mistaken, on those data. So we're doing incredibly well in productivity, but we're needing fewer people to do it, but the people who do it are much more highly skilled.
I see.
And they really need to come out of high school with pretty sound grounding in more advanced mathematics.
And, Morna, if I wanted to do a career in renewable energy in the state of Wisconsin, what would I be studying?
Well, as James has said, we would really want you to start preparing as soon as possible. And that's where we come up with our career pathways and our career maps, where we try to provide some guidance, not just for high school students, but their parents and counselors in the high school to know, you know, these are different courses I need to take in high school. Again, it's strong math, science, but not just limited to those. Communication, team building, and teamwork is a critical part of advanced manufacturing in America today, and you need to have those kinds of analytic and communication skills. And then once you're in a technical college, you would be focusing on typically a certain area of renewable energy, wind, solar, thermal, and that can involve a lot of traditional technician or trade, things like electricity, electrical, mechanical, plumbing. But one of the sort of trademarks of a technical college education is that it is both academic and hands-on.
Right.
So you would be out inside. I just myself was inside a very large wind turbine tunnel, or not tunnel, but the column, and you're climbing up. Students were on ropes, rappelling down from having fixed the blades on top of a 100-foot-tall wind turbine.
Whoa,
so you're out there.
Yeah.
When you're in a technical college, you will be out doing the work that you were going to do when you were in the workplace.
Right. Well, are we overstating the case here? Because you hear everything from there are all these jobs going a wanting because people don't have the skills. And then we hear that technical colleges have already stepped up to the plate and they're educating people for these jobs. What's the truth here? Is there more that technical colleges should be doing? Are you guys to blame for the fact that there are some skills here that people don't have?
Well, I think both sides are absolutely true. I mean, we are producing more graduates. We are investing in a lot of new areas. And there are a lot of folks who are on unemployment in Wisconsin and in other states. And there are also a lot of employers who are looking for workers. So, I mean, all of those perspectives are true. And I think it just speaks to the complexity of the problem. We have both a pipeline problem, and particularly in manufacturing, where it's an issue of attracting people to that career choice. Folks who have had a couple of experiences with a manufacturing layoff, and in this state, you know, we've had whole communities that have found themselves suddenly displaced. It's a hard, can be hard to convince them that with some additional training, with some improved skill set, that manufacturing remains a really good choice. And so we're working on overcoming that perception. And industry really needs to take a lead role in that. And I think that's what the president was sort of driving at. But I also know that it's something that is happening here in Wisconsin right now. Manufacturers in this state have sort of made that their mission, if you will, to get the word out that they do have good jobs that are available, that they are here to stay, and that they need to take some responsibility for making, you know, communicating that to the public. We have a very good example here in Wisconsin about how it really takes all parties to come together. The trucking industry in this state is one of the largest in the country. We happen to be a sort of a crossroads for trucking transportation and good highway system, and so we have a lot of both big trucking companies as well as many, many hundreds, maybe possibly thousands of individual semi-truck drivers, and they are struggling to find properly trained drivers and properly trained diesel mechanics to support that industry's growth. So the industry came together, a consortium of employers, and said, you know, what are going to be our top two priorities? There might be a lot of things that we would like help with and that we want to address, but we're going to focus on two things, which is increasing the number of drivers and diesel mechanics available to us. What are we going to do about that? We're going to give our time and our expertise on what skills we need, which is not an easy thing to sort of break that down as an employer to very specific skills. We're also going to agree not to poach each other's employees, which is a very common practice when there is a workforce shortage. Employers go around and they hire each other's workers. And that can be a vicious cycle, as you can imagine.
Sure.
So they have come together and agreed that they're not going to do that. They're going to build collectively a new pool of employees, and they're going to invest in that. They reached out to Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, our version of the Department of Commerce here, and DWD, the Department of Workforce Development, and the Technical College System. And each of those agencies has a role to play in trying to help the industry solve this dilemma. The Economic Development Corporation is really focusing on exploring alternative funding sources and getting resources to help both the students and the technical colleges expand their capacity. The Department of Workforce Development has taken the lead on trying to promote and the trucking industry as a good career choice. They've got a website devoted to both resources for people who might be interested in pursuing a trucking career and where can they get the skills they need, but also matching employers with potential candidates and posting jobs so that people can see what their, you know, the options might be available to them. They've got statistics out there about wages and placement, et cetera. And then the technical colleges have done an overhaul, basically, of our driving and technician programs so that we are able to expand our capacity markedly in a very short time. And we are working, we have three colleges that offer truck driving trainings. They are working together to make sure that they are maximizing the use of their equipment and their track capacity, that they are taking advantage of online and blended instructional delivery systems. Obviously, you don't want to learn everything about truck driving on the computer. You actually have to drive a truck.
That would be helpful. Right.
But, you know, there are some things that you can do without having to come to campus, and that can help accelerate the process for the student, but it also can allow the technical college to train more students simultaneously.
Let's go to James for a response. We have a ton of people who want to speak to both of you, too. James?
Sure. I think another part of the president's message that I want to put in here is that there is an issue of resources. Higher education beyond high school has sort of three challenges to the individual. One is cost, the other is capacity, and the third, finally, is capability that we've alluded to, and that is the cost of going to higher ed, whether it's a community college, technical college, or four-year college, has been increasing. We have programs across the country, especially high-demand programs, healthcare, for example, where there's a terrific need, lots of opportunity, good-paying jobs, where they close the doors simply because they don't have the capacity to take on more students.
Yes.
So on the one hand, calling for more community college, technical college, two-year college education and training is a terrific idea, but someone has to help pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, look at the national debate, and even in some states like, I don't know, Wisconsin, the issue of budgets and, you know, trying to drive budgets down is not consistent with the idea of investing more in the long-term future of America's youth and young people or for those many returning workers. So you have cost capacity and then the capability of the individual. Not everyone has either the capability or necessarily interest in going into healthcare or truck driving or manufacturing. You need to try to figure out how you can align individuals' preferences and potential with opportunity. And then the other thing I just wanted to just briefly mention is there is somewhat of a disconnect in the conversation between where the real growth in the labor market is and where we talk about trying to grow educational programs. The largest of growth still is in lower-skilled jobs. This is something we don't think about, but if you look at data, these are national data. Again, a lot of variability among the states. If you look at national data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you have a lot of fast-growing jobs. Biomedical engineers, 72% growth rate. Well, it's what I call the denominator problem. In the next 10 years, that 72% growth rate will produce about 12,000 new jobs across the country out of a workforce of close to 160 million.
Hmm.
On the other hand, when you look at where the largest net growth is, you get a kind of different picture. Customer service, again, registered nurses is high on that list. Retail sales, waiters and waitresses. Truck drivers are on that list. As we were just discussing, teachers in elementary schools are on the list. So you get a different list. And it's important to try to align investment of resources with where the labor market seems to be going. But we have to make that investment. And I think what we've seen is increasing cost and cutback across the country in state support for continuing education beyond high school. And that's just not a good recipe.
Mm. Let's go to phone calls momentarily. We're talking, our guest this hour have, as you can tell, a real sophisticated knowledge of what's going on in terms of where the jobs are and what community centers, as the president recommended, might be able to do to train young people or older people who are going back to get more training to be able to perform the skills that are necessary in the jobs that are available. Morna Foy, Executive Assistant and Vice President of Policy and Government Relations for the Wisconsin Technical College System, is with us, as is James Stone, who is Director of the National Research Center for Career and Technical Education at the University of Louisville. Our number, one line is open right now. We're going to go to you, I promise, and take as many calls as we can. 800-486-8655 is the number. Use the email, too, if you'd like, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. to your phone calls. Daryl in Southwest Wisconsin, hi.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Hi.
This is a very important program. I've been in the heating and air conditioning business since the mid-1970s, and I have followed this energy efficiency situation, well, way back when it started in the 1970s. And we only have one institute that is training certified building science energy efficiency people, and that's the Building Performance Institute. Now, what we need the colleges, of course, to do this too, but we need high school students to be trained in these areas because there is a great deal of science and physics and math involved in air conditioning and heating and all of these different realms, the building sciences and so forth. And I took a course on that, too, and I'm certified to do that. But the point is there's too many people that drop out of high school, and these high school students can go and do this. They can do home energy efficiency audits on their parents' homes or grandparents' homes, and they would get a great deal of pleasure, and they'd be able to go right out and get a job. And this needs to go global because this energy efficiency situation is the future economy for much of the world.
Thank you, Daryl, very much for your call. I'm glad you were listening. Morna, you want to start with a response?
I think Daryl's right on. I couldn't agree with him more, and it's actually a new kind of way of delivering instruction and also of getting people to think about their career preparation. We are doing more and more to reach out to high school students and really work with high school districts to make sure that career and tech ed opportunities are available. I mean, it is a very costly process to teach a lot, you know, have labs, have opportunities to work on projects and to do things in high school like that, occupational education. And more high schools are having a difficulty sustaining those programs. So just at a time when we're needing folks to start preparing at a younger and younger age with more sophisticated skills, it's at the same time that high schools are struggling, as James mentioned, with a resource problem, and they're cutting their programs. And so that's where the technical colleges have tried to step in with our career pathways system and also with, you know, opportunities in the summertime, but also Project Lead the Way is a national movement that gets high school students to sort of make that connection in their own minds between these courses that I am taking in high school and how they are going to allow me to do what I want to do once I get out of high school, which whether that's building energy-efficient homes, doing audits, as Daryl suggested, building cars, whatever it is that they have in their mind of their future, Project Lead the Way and more connections with tech prep and career and technical education at a young age, I think helps students sort of see why they are taking things like algebra.
James, at least if not said, my understanding from what Daryl was saying was that there weren't enough courses or places to offer that were offering the kind of instruction that was needed to do the job, and there are lots of such jobs that Daryl does. What's the hang-up here? Is it that technical colleges are teaching other things? Is it that they don't have enough investment to carry on with courses in this area? What's the problem?
Well, you only have an hour-long show. There are a number of issues. A couple things that Daryl mentioned I just wanted to comment on. First of all, he's absolutely correct. Energy and energy-related jobs of the kind of things that he was alluding to really offer a great future, and there's growth there. We can save more energy than we can ever possibly produce, and we don't do nearly enough. So that said, yes, there needs to be more opportunity. The other thing that he mentioned that I just want to comment on, even though we're talking about community colleges, we have a dropout crisis across this country. Depending on whose estimates you believe, we lose anywhere from 20 to 30% of kids who start ninth grade who never successfully complete high school. And absent the high school completion, the rest of any of this conversation really doesn't matter. And so one of the things we know is that the kinds of things Daryl is talking about are the kinds of things that engage a lot of kids. Career and technical education, getting out of a traditional sit everybody in a row type classroom and actually do something, make something, fix something,
sure.
Think about how
right.
something works,
mm-hmm.
engages a lot of young people who are otherwise turned off. And sort of linking the notion of, we'll just take energy, which is what he mentioned, some of those kinds of opportunities are relatively low cost, and relative is a relative term. But what we see in community colleges across the country are, and they do this in Wisconsin, I know, things that sometimes are called dual enrollment, dual credit, or where students actually can leave the high school and go to a community or technical college and start moving toward becoming their future selves at an earlier age. There's nothing magic about the age of 18. In fact, the United States is kind of an outlier in that regard in terms of sort of keeping young people back from beginning to move ahead in life. And so, and again, I know Wisconsin does a lot of this, and that's one alternative. But again, it's back to an investment question. It's cheaper to pack 30 or 40 kids into a classroom than it is to provide opportunities mm-hmm. to learn about other things in other ways.
Yeah. Daryl, thanks so much for your call. Joan is next in Eau Claire. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Good morning to your guests. Our daughter has gotten on the wait list for her technical college program back in January 2009. And I do realize that our community can only handle X number of graduates at any given time. However, in January of 2009, the tech school wait list for her program was 7 years.
7 years?
That's correct. The technical folks...
7 years?
That's correct. Seven. The technical school folks do continue to tell us that the normal wait time is about 2 years. However, I will say that from the time she got on the wait list in January of 2009 until the time that she will be attending, 4.5 years will have elapsed.
What is she studying?
It's in the healthcare field.
Morna.
Yes.
What's up? What's up, Morna?
Well, I believe this is probably a nursing program.
No, it's not. No, I'm sorry, but it's not.
It's not nursing? Okay. Well, I'll tell you that the biggest problem that we have with our healthcare programs is a capacity one. This is an area where we don't have a pipeline problem. Obviously, tons of folks want to go into healthcare. There are great opportunities out there. It's also an extremely expensive program to offer, and it's one that requires a fairly small student-to-instructor ratio. So it requires resources. The other thing that all healthcare programs require are clinical opportunities. And it's not something that can be controlled by the technical college because clinical opportunity has to be done in a place of healthcare that it needs an employer to make that opportunity available. And, you may think that, oh, well, we have lots of, especially in a place like the Eau Claire area, lots of health cares, lots of clinics, hospitals, that shouldn't be an issue. But the truth is that offering a clinical is a big obligation and expense for the employer as well because they have to have staff available to provide that mentorship, if you will, and that guidance. They have to have the right teaching experiences available. One of the things that has occurred with our better, our more efficient medical system and advances in medical technology is that folks are spending less time in a hospital, for example. And as a result, they are there for less time for a student to learn about how to treat them or provide respiratory therapy or any other lab work, anything else, so that those patients aren't in the hospital as long. So all those things are affecting the clinical opportunity, and I think that is, for many of our healthcare programs, that is really a bottleneck.
Yeah. What is your daughter doing now, Joan?
Well, she's got 3 years in at the university level, and as per my recommendations, she has taken all the classes that will transfer in as core classes with regard to science, the hardcore science classes, and she has completed as much as she can at the university level. in a three-year period of time. She's actually working right now part-time, and she would not accept a position. She insisted on telling her employers, prospective employers, that she was on the wait list at the tech school. She didn't want to be disingenuous about that, so she's actually working on a part-time basis now. However, that brings into play something else, which is payment of student loans from her university career.
Right.
So she has a very good attitude about it, but it is what it is, and it will be 4.5 years time span in between there. So, but anyway, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for your call. James, give us a national perspective on this. There's a bottleneck here. How can it be fixed?
Well, that was the point I made earlier about what I call the three C's, which is cost, capacity, and capability.
Right.
In these high-demand areas, Marna was right. You need to have these workforce or workplace placements, especially in healthcare fields like nursing and so forth, and they're limited. There are some alternatives, but they're not necessarily widespread. But at some point, you know, individuals have to wind up next to a patient, you know, who's in a bed in a hospital setting. And those are difficult things. But again, it's back to the president's argument that we need to find the resources to create more investment in workforce development, especially the kind that's delivered through community and technical colleges.
Yeah. John in Monroe. Hi, John.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what your guests thought about, you know, we see as the purpose of high school. Seems back in the day, you know, I got hired out of high school on an apprentice program with a farm irrigation company. You know, I had a decent, strong mathematical background, and these days they're making these kids that with the entry-level positions take a few courses out of Blackhawk to make sure they have a, you know, strong mathematics background. It seems high school used to be the place you went for a primary education to be able to enter the workforce. You know, not everything, not doctor, lawyer, but a lot of things. And now high school seems like the place to go get your piece of paper so you can go to school somewhere else and get some job skills. Anyway, have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Morna.
Well, I think there's two things at play. One is that actually the technical colleges started 100 years ago as a essentially to address a group of individuals who are high school age but were, for one reason or another, no longer attending high school. So it was this idea of workforce preparation, and John's right that it was a lot of high schools used to have much bigger career and tech ed programs. They had, in Wisconsin, lots and lots of ag occupational education happening at the high school level, and a lot of that has left the K-12 level here as a, because of resources. And so that's one part of the puzzle. It goes back to what James was saying about capacity. The other part of it is that I think the body of human knowledge has just accelerated so fast and to such a great degree that we are asking people to know more and learn more, and it in some cases takes more time to do that than it did when we were, you know, their age. Colleges and universities have also gotten a lot more demanding about the expectations for what they require of students to come in and prepare to do college work. And employers are no different. It's not enough anymore to be a committed and hardworking individual. You have to be able to demonstrate to them that you have some sophisticated skills and knowledge before they will commit to investing more in you as mm-hmm. an employee.
James, do high schools need to become more comprehensive in preparing people with skills or giving them a choice of learning skills? Is something wrong with our high school tech system?
Yes, in a word. One of the challenges, well, looking at high schools just very briefly, we kind of go through cycles of high school. Well, I use the term reform, change. When I was a kid, you know, the Russians shot the Sputnik off and everybody had to become a rocket.
Right, right.
And all that led to, for me, was a 4-foot crater in my parents' backyard as things blew up on me. But and then you had a back to the basics movement, and then you had, school to work, and you had No Child Left Behind. And we have this pendulum that goes through American education on a relatively frequent and somewhat cyclical nature. And we we went on this binge of turning this college for all notion, where everyone had to go to a college, usually defined as a traditional four-year college. And as a consequence, in the last 15 years, we've added the equivalent of a full year of high school education in the core academic areas. Now, the average high school graduate's gone from about 13 to nearly 19 core academic credits. That's the equivalent of a full year. And when you do that, you push other things off the table. And those other things were career and technical education. And as a consequence, kids are taking more math, more science, more of this, more of that, which means they have less time to do other things. And so the kind of experience that I think it was John who was talking about, as a high school student, you had opportunities to explore other ways of learning that fit better with you. We've narrowed the curriculum. We've turned high school into essentially the new middle school, meaning that there's nothing that high school bestows upon the individual except presumably preparing them for the next level of education. And we've come to that over the last 20 years, and so it's not an easy fix. There's no simple solution. But clearly young people need more opportunity for career development and to begin to explore earlier and prepare earlier for becoming productive members of society, if I could think of it more broadly that way.
Yeah. Roland in Wausau, hi.
Hi. I'd like to just follow up on what's just been said. In 1968, I graduated with a master's degree in vocational rehabilitation, work adjustment training, and vocational evaluation. Prior to that, I had a bachelor's degree in industrial arts education, specializing in power mechanics and metals. I was hired for 2 years to teach a special education general shop, and I also taught refresher courses at Argonne National Laboratories. Then, because I didn't want to live in Chicago anymore, we moved to southern Minnesota. I was hired to teach power mechanics 1 and 2 at a high school level. Nobody looked at the fact that I had been teaching at Argonne National Laboratories. They looked at the fact that I had been teaching special education. So my classes were loaded with borderline students. I'm trying to teach power mechanics, which requires, you know, background in metallurgy, chemistry, physics, and electronics. My students were totally unprepared for that, and the students who would be prepared for that were encouraged in, you know, the speaker just said 20 years. We're talking 50 years ago. The students who were prepared were encouraged to take IPA classes. Nothing was said about vocational classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a community that had a terrific vocational program adjacent to another community that had a terrific vocational program. Diesel mechanics, machining, auto mechanics, auto body, electronics, the whole score of things. But what we did is we emphasized college prep, you know, and nobody was looking at what are you going to do if you don't go to college?
Right. Roland, I need to hold you there because we're running a little short on time. Morna, you want to respond to Roland?
Yeah, I think Roland's described something that is happening in communities all over the country and especially here in Wisconsin. Those programs are just not available at the high school level anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are available, there is a lot of stereotyping about what it means to go into career and tech ed. You know, it's voc ed. It's not college. And the reality is that the requirements and the skills and the knowledge that you need to be successful in a technical career right now are very sophisticated. And, you know, we are battling that perception about what it means to go into an occupation every day.
Right. And some of that information we should all have anyhow, basic information, basic voc ed education we should all have, and we're missing that in our lives, right?
Well, you know, I really wish that I had, in my own, you know, reflecting back, it would have been nice to have some skills that I could have gotten a decent job immediately after college.
Yeah.
And then thought about, you know, it going on. I mean, we're advocates in the tech college system for lifelong learning. So we don't want to think of any of our programs
and I think career tech ed in general, it's not a one shot and you're done. The world of technology and the workplace is just changing too quickly.
Mm-hmm. You can say that again. We're going to welcome more phone calls, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. James, when the president said at the State of the Union, we need to give community career centers the resources that they need, the community colleges, so they can create these centers. What's happening now with that? Do we need legislation to give people more resources? It's obvious from this hour discussion that indeed may be needed.
Well, the simple answer is yes. However, it's much more complex than that. Higher education, two-year colleges and the like, are largely a state function. The federal government has certain programs that pale in comparison to state investments, and so these are largely state investments. Part of the challenge in all of this is we've, over the years, we've begun to think of higher education especially as a private good paid for largely with private money, so the costs fall to the student. One gentleman mentioned he got out of school in the 60s. Well, in the 60s, many community colleges across the country were close to free because it was considered a public good paid for with public money. So if workforce development is a public good, then there should be more public investment. Again, that's not a conversation anybody really wants to have in today's political environment. And that's the challenge. This stuff is not free. The capacity requires investment. I wanted to make one other quick comment if I could. I know the time is running short, but in the discussion around high school career and technical education, I think there are two points I'd make very quickly. One is there are terrific career and technical education programs at the high school level across the country, many of them in Wisconsin. There's a school that was part of a study we did in Massachusetts where it was basically a vocational technical high school. Kids were there from grade 9 to 12, essentially in shops most of the day. And they had the second highest passing rate on the state exit exam, the academic exam that's required for graduation. So it is possible to do both. And when we do both, I use the term career and college ready. And I think that's what Marna was referring to, is that kids have to come out of high school ready for both continuing education and training, but also ready for the workplace. It's not an either-or situation anymore. And my hope is everybody will eventually be working. And so the notion that everybody needs some career in tech or vocational education is absolutely on target.
Yeah. Amy in Appleton, our last caller. Hi, Amy.
Hi there. I'm just bringing up what I think is a very pertinent point. Something that needs to be worked on. Both of my children went through Wisconsin Technical Colleges, very rigorous programs. My son was on the dean's list. My daughter was in a program where she couldn't have anything less than an 80% maintained average to even stay in her program. My frustration came with the automobile insurance industry, and that in spite of what they both were doing and accomplishing, they were not eligible for the 15% or whatever percentage good student discount because the auto insurance company said it wasn't, quote, rigorous or academic enough. And I found that kind of shocking, and it's just something I think people should be aware of so that maybe that's something we can get rolling to help our technical colleges and to help students who want to pursue those kind of things so that they can, be really successful and continue.
Marna, that one's for you.
And I just want to say I will hope your caller will continue making such calls, because it really is about this idea of perception and what is it that a person learns if they choose a career field that is in the technology area, and how difficult those are. It's a very common misperception. The auto industry, I'm sad to hear this. I'm going to make a few calls myself, but they are not the only ones that have a very old-fashioned, in my opinion, view about what it is that individuals are doing while they're in technical college or in any career in tech ed or voc ed program at the high school level, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do, you have the last word here, in Wisconsin to help our technical college system in the state? In 30 seconds, Marna.
Talk about them. Talk about your experiences. Talk about the good ones and talk about the bad ones, because we actually would like to hear those too. We want to be better. And we want to give the service to our citizens that they are expecting.
Mm-hmm. And James, you've got 15 seconds. Same thing.
I would agree with that. And again, I think we have to solve the resource issue and provide more opportunity for young people to continue their learning beyond high school.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. It was such an informative hour. I appreciate your being with us.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Our thanks to Morna Foy, Executive Assistant and Vice President of Policy and Government Relations for the Wisconsin Technical College System. James Stone, Director of the National Research Center for Career and Technical Education, which is based at the University of Louisville. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. And thanks for all of your calls. I'm sorry we couldn't get to tons of them this hour, but we made up for lack of phone calls with, not that we didn't have them, we couldn't get to them because there was so much information to go through. So we were thorough, and that's good. We'll be with you again tomorrow. There are great conversations ahead, so please stay tuned, and we'll be with you tomorrow to talk about fascinating topics right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.